Croeso I Amplify. Welcome to Amplify, stories about youth music in Wales. Straeon am gerddoriaeth ieuenctid yng Nghymru. This month, we have a special episode focusing on musicians from Wales who come from families with Windrush elders. Guest host Alicia Scott chats to Mace the Great about music, family, and the influence of Windrush on his work.
Hello, my name is Alicia Scott. I am a reggae artist and BBC Radio Wales presenter from Cardiff. I am a Welsh Jamaican and I am a grandchild of the Windrush. In this series of the Amplify podcast, I'm going to be talking to Welsh artists who stem from the Windrush, and we're going to talk about how the Windrush has influenced their journeys as musicians and people. So, who are you and what do you do?
I am Mace the Great, Mason Burnett, depending on how you know me. What I do, I make music. I make music, I perform, I try and do a bit of youth work. Man of many trades, innit?
How did you get into making music?
I think it was in high school. I was always inspired by people like Skepta and Ratch 32 and that. And then I met a friend in high school who was really good at music. I think you know him, Anton.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I met Anton years ago when I was about 13. And he was really good at music at the time. And yeah, it just gave me the push to give it a try myself. And yeah, I haven't stopped since then, really.
Nash, have you always felt that hunger from it? So can you remember a time where you were maybe starting music and thought, I like this. This is what I want to do.
Yeah, well, I've always liked it, but I think at one stage I thought, I can get somewhere, you know? So, and that was probably about, probably when I made Brave.
Nice.
I kind of thought, like, it's a hobby, I enjoy it, but I feel like, you know, I can make something out of it if I keep, like, persevering.
Wicked. I'm going to connect the dots, so this is not, like, a random question, but I'm going to connect what I'm going to say together. But what is your relationship to Windrush? So how do you stem from the Windrush?
Well, I feel like my grandparents came from that, so, you know, in terms of how I'm connected, if my grandparents didn't come over here during that time, like, I probably wouldn't be here.
You know MTG, what?
So, yeah, that's how I look at it, really, with the Windrush. I feel like, you know, it was something that my grandparents had a lot to do with, and, yeah, if they didn't make the move over here, I wouldn't be here.
And do you feel like, so I know you're very Cardiff, Mace, Splot Road Mace, but I also know, knowing you, that you're also very connected to your roots. So how do you feel like that influences what you do?
Oh, definitely.
Apart from the chef-ins.
Yeah, I love cooking. I love cooking Jamaican food. But I just think it's just part of who I am. Like, growing up in my mum's house, it was like, it's just a cultured house, going to my nan's, like, it was always surrounding me. So, you know, I'm proud to be Jamaican. And something I've always embraced, and it's not really something I've thought about. It's just like,
just you.
I am, like.
Yeah, love that. And do you feel like, as a Welsh Jamaican, I feel like there isn't that much representation outside of Wales for us? So a lot of times people might be like, so I've been places and people are like, well, you're an artist from Wales and you're Jamaican. And I'm like, yeah. Mm. Well, they listen to reggae in Wales. I'm like, yeah. So I feel like you especially doing the things you're doing is amazing. Like, not just to say this because you're here, but then that elevates who we are and people who look like us on further platforms and in further places. Then is that something that's important to you as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's important for me to achieve my goals and get where I want to be, and reach like whatever destination I've got in mind. But it's also very important for me to like pave a way for younger people like me who wanted to do what I wanted to do growing up.
Definitely.
And yeah, just give things I had to fight for, maybe they'll have easier access for. And I think it's all about, it's all about passing things down to the youth of today, really.
Amazing. And I spoke to Edie about this as well, and like being people who stem from the Windrush as well. So our grandparents came here and basically literally picked up everything they knew and created a whole new life here. Do you feel like, because I know you're a hard worker, you put your all into everything you do. Do you feel like elements from our grandparents then are instilled in us and that helped us to create everything we do as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, the my grandparents, like, they were, they had a hustle, like, and then, you know, that went from my dad and, like, my mum and my dad, and then it went into me. So it was like, my dad would always tell me, like, I can get anything I want as long as I work hard enough. So, 100%. Yeah, that's something that's been instilled in me from very early on. And, you know, everyone growing up, like, I'm looking at my grandparents, like, and my nan was a nurse, my grandpa was like a bus driver, and then my dad's a carpenter, my mum was a carer. And so, yeah, everyone's, you know, worked hard growing up around me. Like, everyone older than me and my family worked hard. So, again, it was something I was just used to seeing. So when it was my turn, it weren't like a shock that I have to work hard for what I want.
Mace chats to his dad, Errol Burnett, about his experience of Windrush, his early life in the UK, and music over the decades.
Come here as a child. So obviously, when I came here, I was like a year and 3 months. Mm. So basically, everything I gathered was, say, like from the teachings of, yeah, family.
Yeah.
Because like more times, so we didn't have, say, like TVs, like a radio. Back in the day, we had three stations.
Mm.
BBC One, BBC Two, and ITV. Yeah,
mm.
And it wasn't catered for us, you know. So all our understandings and teachings come from family, parents, aunties and uncles. When, you know, they used to have little get-togethers and they'd come down and they'd sit and they'd all start talking about back home, and you would grasp certain things.
Mm.
Yeah, but then, see, like, as a child then growing up, it was the first time, because remember now, as children, you don't see racism or anything. That is something that is taught to you.
Mm.
So, like, when I started to go to school being, say, like, the only black person in there, that's when racism come to the light, you know, because, like, for argument's sake, I would have certain friends that I could only play with them in school hours, because after school, you couldn't go and knock their door because they're... And they would tell you because, you know, oh, my father don't like black people.
Mm.
And sometimes they use stronger language, you know.
Mm.
So, like, that's when I was first made aware that there was a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, of course, say, like, growing up, it was a challenge because... You had to be either as good as, if not better, than the Caucasians, because anything less, you wasn't getting a notice,
mm.
You know? And it was something that after living it for a period of time, you began to develop a second sense. So, you know, attitudes.
Mm.
You know, you'd be able to say, for argument's sake, you'd go to a shop and you would just see their attitude, say, like, because, say, like, your white friends would go in there and nobody would bat an eyelid, but as soon as you went in there was all eyes on you.
Yeah.
So you realise that, you know, you was under scrutiny.
Yeah.
Yeah? So, and yeah, so like, you know, growing up in Cardiff, like, you know, it was a challenge, but then again, see, like, on one hand, but on the other hand, there were some really nice people, you know, who really did welcome you and tried to, you know, integrate with you. But the thing was then, see, like, I would imagine black people were very apprehensive.
Yeah.
Because of the past and what they've been through. And they would put that onto us as children, as if to say, like, you know, be careful. Don't... If somebody was nice to you, you would automatically put you on the back foot.
Yeah, because you're not used to it.
And you're thinking, right, what do they want?
Yeah.
You know, there must be something, you know. And it took a while to understand that there are some nice, different people out there who are genuine.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm.
But saying that, I mean, like, it was bad for people who was in Cardiff because obviously they didn't know. But once you travelled outside of Cardiff,
yeah,
and you went to England, then you saw it so much worse.
Yeah.
Well, once you went to England, it was in your face.
Yeah.
You know, as in one thing that always sticks in my mind. I might have told you a year, a long time ago. My father took me. You know, your grandpa took me up there, and we was. Uncle Walter, and we was walking, and Uncle Walter is my godfather, and he said to me, you know, your grandpa, could I? And there was a sign, and it said, no Irish, no dogs, and no blacks.
Yeah.
Now, to me, as a child, that was just a notice. But then my uncle kicked off then to your grandpa saying how they put us underneath the dog.
Yeah.
You understand?
It's crazy. Yeah, when you look at it like that.
You know?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that as a child, but because my uncle highlighted it to my father, your grandpa, that's what drew my attention to it.
Yeah.
Yeah? And that became one of the earliest memories.
It's,
you know?
Crazy.
But, you know, fast forward to here and now. But like I said, though, you would see it in Cardiff, but nowhere as bad as, say, like in England.
Yeah.
Because, like, in England, it was, you know, it was in your face. When you used to say, like, if you used to go down the bay, it was a bit of a release because then you would see people of your own.
Yeah.
And those people, in general, were different to the people the other side of Bute Road Bridge.
Yeah.
Bute Street.
Yeah.
You know? And that was a funny thing as well, because they're like, as a kid, no, once you cross that bridge, there was a sense of relaxation because you knew that, you know, you wasn't going to get accosted because of the colour of your skin, and you wouldn't get verbally abused because of the colour of your skin, because there was people down there of that.
Yeah.
Ilk, like, you know.
Yeah.
So that was a good thing, like, you know. And, you know, I mean, like, say, like, back then, the type of music we used to love is, say, like, Audrey Hall.
Yeah.
One Dance, and, you know, Pat Kelly.
Yeah.
Marley, Peter Tosh, Desmond Dekker. Because Desmond Dekker, he was like a trailblazer.
Mm.
Millie Smaller, as I said earlier, you know, that was a big time, because before Millie Smaller, Johnny Nash was along the peripherals, but he never really got to that number one, because back then, the music scene, if you didn't get to number one, you wasn't one of the in crowd type of thing. Like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Number one said you had status. And me as a youngster growing up, I don't remember seeing anybody hitting those heights before this little woman called Millie Small.
Mm-hmm.
And she recorded, was in My Boy Lollipop.
Yeah.
well, once that hit number one, then it was like everybody wanted to talk to you.
Yeah.
If before, you know, they would blank you type of thing, like, you know. But and like I said, like, you know, and that was, say, like in the early stage, and then growing up through Cardiff, then as obviously as time started to progress, then you started see more people of colour, so it got that little bit better, but it was always a challenge.
Yeah,
I mean, you could never truly relax until you was behind closed doors, you know.
Crazy.
And like yeah, you know, but like I said, like, because we was here, we thought, yeah, this is bad.
Yeah, but then I guess it's like that saying, like, better the devil you know, because you go somewhere else and it's worse than you're used to.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, because you can only judge what you know. If you don't know, you don't know. But once, I mean, like, what to you could be the end of the world? If you speak to somebody with a bit of knowledge, they'll say, well, if you have a look at it this way, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, and like I said, like, you know, the music was a big release.
Yeah.
Massive release.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you could just relax and just be yourself.
Yeah.
Especially when you was around your own type of thing, like, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, like, in it.
And like the blues dances and that, they were like a big thing.
Yeah, well, the blues dances, like I said, like most of our dances, the only time I would, you know, like, say, like back in the day, like if your parents went on holiday, well, not so much holiday, went away for the weekend, 9 times out of 10, you would hijack one of their rooms. Couldn't be the front room, because the front room was always the best room with all the furniture, so they'd lock that up, and they would just string some speaker boxes up, and they was massive, you know, and then put a cellar system in there, and that was our entertainment, really. You know, but like I said, like that, but most of our blues dances, the only was all underground. The only official ones were, say, like up in London, where they used to have a song called Coxon.
Okay.
Coxon was the man. His song was the loudest, and he would play all the latest tune. And they would have, say, like, pre-release. And back, say, like, when I was growing up, a lot of the guys would all jump into... They'd all build sound systems. Because what you would do, and then they would have sound clashes all over the country, and of course, like the better the sound system, the more gigs you would get.
Yeah.
You know? And then, like I said, they would have challenges, which would be, say, like Coxon playing against Saxon.
Yeah.
Because Saxon was a tough sound back then as well, and that's how we used to do it, like, you know.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things that, because it was mostly underground, police could come and shut it down.
Yeah.
Like that. And that's what used to happen a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know? And then fast forward now, like, say, like, to today now, I would say, like, your music now, it's good to see, because you didn't always have that type of freedom.
Yeah.
You understand me?
Yeah.
And like now, your music now is taking it to another level.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Which is a good thing in my mind.
Yeah.
You know? And long may it continue, because at the end of the day, it's been a long struggle to get to where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because I grew up in such a, well, in the 60s, 70s. And I could see, like, the struggle it was, say, like, for people of colour to really make that breakthrough and get the acceptance. And now I see you and, say, like, your guys now walking into that arena, confident. It's a good thing.
Yeah, it's almost like we don't know how good we got it, like...
Yeah, but at the end of the day, how could you? Because you wasn't there. But, I mean, like, you know... For people like myself who was there, it's a breath of fresh air because
shows the growth in it.
Yeah, well, you know, been knocking on the door, and I mean, like, because of the system and society, a lot of talent has just gone by the wayside, never to return, lost.
Mm.
You know, whether they've gone into drugs or robbery or whatever, street crime. But there's a hell of a lot of talent that's just disappeared.
Mm.
Whereas, say, like, with you and your guys now, that talent doesn't have to disappear because now there's channels
that
you can go, you know? So I'm happy about that.
Mm.
And like I said, like, in it, I mean, like, as you'll see as time goes on, you'll see, like, music has these different, it's like it morphs into this and then it morphs into that.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? But when you go right back to the basics, it's all about the drum and bass.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. The drum and bass is like the seed that everything has flourished from.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
And
yeah.
That's what we, I mean, like, as a youngster, used to love to hear the drum and bass.
Yeah.
You know, when you're standing by that speaker and that bass drop and you feel it in your chest.
Yeah.
And you used to say, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it was, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely.
And for us as young people, if your bass couldn't lick you in your chest, your bass is not saying that.
Yeah. It's not, that is mad.
But, you know, it's progress and it's a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
But now, the gauntlet has passed now to your guys now, because your guys now, the job you have to do is take that mantle now and take it to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, you know, when this full circle and, like I'm sitting here with Cairo, it's like he's or his generation have took it even further again,
that's
sort of
right.
thing. And yeah.
That's right. But it's all about positivity, you know? You know, I mean, like, you know, the world is full of negativity. But the thing is, see, like, you can take the negativity and find a positive, but you just got to be prepared because sometimes it doesn't always jump out at you. But you've got to take that time to find it, because for every negative thing that happens, there's a positive just around the corner.
Yeah.
But if you just throw your arms up in the air and say, whatever, you're never going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, you know, and the thing is with you guys, like, innit, you're more persistent and you don't take no for an answer, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a bad thing, but the more than not, it's a good thing because, say, like, with my generation, because we was told that, you know, you could never do that. Some of us battled, but a lot of us turned on and said, okay, then, well, if you can't do it, I'll do this.
Yeah.
Whereas your generation now is saying, no, I want to do this. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
You know? So that's positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, me personally, like, you know, you find some people are bitter and twisted. I'm you know, full of admiration because, like I said, it's good to see you guys making positive moves. But the thing you got to do, though, with that power comes responsibility.
Mm.
Once you're out there, you've got to give a positive message.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's so much negativity going on, and you know, there's a lot of youngsters out there who are lost, and all they need is something positive to hold on, but they can't seem to.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I do like your music. I don't understand it all fully, but what I've heard, yes. Yeah, like, and it does, because I think it reverts back to what I said to you before about the feeling the bass in your chest.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes, you know. It's good.
And, like, outside of Windrush, us being Welsh and Jamaican, I know that, so in Jamaica the phrase would say "Lick a Bubba Tolowa," which means that we might be a small island, but we've definitely influenced basically the whole world.
Mm.
And I would say, what style would you say your music was?
The style of
quite
music.
Eclectic, though, isn't it? But
yeah, I think.
Yeah, I feel like, sorry, that was a terrible question to ask you, just because your styles are eclectic. But do you think that the influences from Jamaica and the Caribbean islands and the West Indies stems over here in the grassroots of that, the music that you create?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like, you know, growing up, like, we'd be, like, all I'd listen to is like reggae or, like, nah, it weren't so much bashment. It was more reggae and dancehall,
yeah.
You know, when I was younger. Like, be cleaning the house on a Saturday, my dad would just be running tunes from, like, the crack of dawn, proper loud.
In a Jamaican household, just to clarify to everyone listening, you have a cleaning day, and as soon as you hear those speakers go on and the music is on, you better clean something.
Yeah. Yeah, I can remember those days, literally. But, yeah, instilled in me from very early on. And I think in terms of my music, I think it's very Cardiff based on, like, my accent.
Yeah.
But I think if you, like, look past my accent and listen to, like, the slang I use and stuff like that, I feel like there is a strong Jamaican influence to my music as well.
Amazing. So where would you like to go with your music? What would you like to see being built from what you've done? I know you said you want to pass on to the youngers, maybe, who are coming up next, but where would you like to go and where would you like to take your music?
I would literally, I feel like there's no...
Worldwide?
Yeah, it's like there's no limits. Like, I want to do as much as I possibly can. I want to build a legacy. I want to be able to have financial freedom from my music, but it's not all about money either. Do you get me? At the end of the day, I just want to be able to live a comfortable life, feed my family, not want or need for anything, and do what I love doing full time. That's what I want to do. So whether I'm a superstar or whether I'm just doing my bit in Wales, it doesn't matter. As long as I'm doing those things, I think I'll be content and happy. But on the flip side, it's like, yeah, I want to do a world tour. I want to do everything. I love, like, I'd love to get to a certain point where, like, I could, like, cross over into, like, acting and stuff like that as well. So there's no ceilings.
Amazing. I think you're doing an amazing job already. And as someone who, like I said, you have the work ethic and the talent as well. So even in, like, the last year, even just coming out of lockdown, I've seen, like, the growth in you as an artist. And literally, like, I make a joke, like, worldwide, but you actually are getting out there. Like, you've literally been performing in Texas, all around the UK, different... Mobo and Sung, like... It's amazing to see, and that's because you have put in the graft and stay consistent.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's I don't really take it in because I'm just constantly, like, there's always something else. I'm always chasing something, so, and it's probably bad because...
It's not bad, because you never stay complacent. You're pushing for what's next.
Yeah, but then I feel like I miss... Like, certain periods in the journey, like, should I stop and take it in or should I just keep going?
Write notes to yourself every time you do something. Put it in a jar and then every year, open the jar and look and see what you did that year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
And you're like, oh, true, remember that?
Yeah, no, that's good. No one's ever said that to me before.
I haven't done it, but I just feel like it's a good idea.
Nah,
am I doing now, actually?
Nah, I will, because I'm so, like something will happen and I'll be like a bit like, whoa, like, that's big. But then I'm like, you know, it's like the novelty wears off and I'm on the next big thing, yeah. But then it's like, you know, there's that saying, it's like the journey's more important than the destination.
Yeah, true.
So rather than, like, you know, wish the journey away and just be rushing, sometimes I think, oh, maybe I should slow down and take this in.
But then you could say you're taking it in because you're showing growth.
Yeah.
So because of each of these steps, you've continued to grow. So you are thinking about it, but subconsciously not actually stopping to do it, you know?
Yeah, it's like I'm not, like, taking anything for granted or anything. It's just I just don't want to stop working, 100%. You know? But I try my best to take it all in. But at the same time, like, I try my best to keep going as well.
You're smashing it. How important is it for you to take... So I touched on earlier about being a black Welsh artist from Cardiff. How important is it for you to take that literally everywhere?
It's very important because I'm a representation of being black and Welsh. So, you know, I got to take that everywhere. It's like, it's me, it's who I am. So yeah, it's nothing I'd ever shy away from. Do you get me? I'm proud to be black, I'm proud to be Jamaican, I'm proud to be from Wales, and I always will be. And yeah, I just feel like it's my job to kind of uplift the city and let everyone know, like, you all got something to be proud of, sort of thing.
100%.
So I'll try.
So you are going to perform a song for us today. What is the song? Why did you write it? Let us know the stuff.
Okay, so the song I'm going to perform today is actually out in, it's going to be released in a few weeks. It's going to be part of my new project called Splot World. And it's a song called Loyalty. And it's just based on what loyalty means to me, how important it is to me to have loyalty within like friends and family and all types of relationships. So yeah, I think, yeah, loyalty is very important to me. I feel I'm a loyal friend, and I'd like that in return. And I think everyone else do. So yeah, it's a song about loyalty. It's called Loyalty, and I hope you enjoy it.
Do it for the people, all my day ones know what it is. Never changed up, never switched. I'm from the man, I'm from the bits. Talking blessings and I'm rich. Tell me who you're loyal to. I'm just hoping that I'm on your list. And if I pull up with the crew, yeah, would you keep it a secret or talk up the keep it a secret or talk up the things? I never changed up, never switched. I'm from the man, I'm from the bits. Talking blessings and I'm rich. Tell me who you're loyal to. I'm just hoping that I'm on your list. And if I pull up with the crew, would you keep it a secret or talk
we don't
up the
talk
things?
To police. Take that bass out your voice if you're talking to me. Feel like tracks, so I'm sporting a piece in a corporate event, but I brung all the G's. They told me the dress code is formal. I came with the tracksuit mafia, of course. Still they pay me wages when I talk. Give a speech like I won an award. I ain't got my feet up, I'm tearing the beat up. I set pace, they struggle to keep up. Didn't know about me, better than read up. I'm mashing the scene up while I get my P's up. I can spot a pagan from far. And if it feels like it's forced, I won't take part. Still run me a rhythm, I got bars. Do it for the people, all my day ones know what it is.
Never changed up, never switched. I'm from the man, I'm from the bits. Talking blessings and I'm rich. Tell me who you're loyal to. I'm just hoping that I'm on your list. And if I pull up with the crew, yeah, would you keep it a secret or talk up the keep it a secret or talk up the things? I never changed up, never switched. I'm from the man, I'm from the bits. Talking blessings and I'm rich. Tell me who you're loyal to. I'm just hoping that I'm on your list. And if I pull up with the crew, would you keep it a secret or talk up the things?
Killing it anytime that I roll through. I can't trust you. You couldn't keep a secret if I told you. I'm powered up like Goku. It's for ransom if I let the goons.
Tell me who you're loyal to. No trust issues in my crew. Do you wanna see me lose? Can't trust if you would tell the truth. I'm wavy like I mixed the henny with ghosts. Who's really been the talk of the town? I'm shutting down for the fans in the crowd. Promoters can't try to give me the run round.
And they can never try getting me off task. Can't tell me about ends, my brother. I'm from not trusting my friends and family. That's facts.
People on my day ones know what it is. Never changed up, never switched. I'm from the man, I'm from the bits. Talking blessings and I'm rich. Tell me who you're loyal to. I'm just hoping that I'm on your list. And if I pull up with the crew, yeah, would you keep it a secret or talk up the keep it a secret or talk up the things? I never changed up, never switched. I'm from the man, I'm from the bits. Talking blessings and I'm rich. Tell me who you're loyal to. I'm just hoping that I'm on your list. And if I pull up with the crew, would you keep it a secret or talk up the
Amplify. Stories about youth music in Wales is produced by Anthem Cronfagerdd Cymru Music Fund Wales, creating a Wales in which music can empower every young life. This episode of Amplify was funded by Race Council Cymru to celebrate National Windrush Day 2022, created in partnership with T-Cerdd Studios. Amplify is produced by Tori Silman and Rian Hutchins, with voiceovers by Tori Silman, studio production by Connor Morgans, music by Blankface, and original concept by Ife Iwobi.